Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Negro Please the Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How y'all doing? What's up? I'm back. That's right. Episode 10. 10 weeks strong. Okay, 11. Y'all know I missed one because of my anniversary. But I want to thank each and every one of you for listening. I appreciate it. Any new listeners, welcome and thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to me. I really appreciate it. I have quite a few things to talk about this week. I actually didn't write anything down, so I might ramble a little bit to find my spot. I should have wrote it down, but I didn't, folks. First on the docket, this Wednesday here in Charlottesville, Virginia, I will be opening for the one and only Kyle Kinane. Dude's very, very funny. I'm excited. He's huge on the alt scene. You see him on Comedy Central. He has two specials. One is called Whiskey Icarus, which aired on Comedy Central, and his newest CD is I Like His Older Stuff Better, which is funny. You can find that on Spotify, probably iTunes and all that kind of stuff. But if you are here in Charlottesville or the surrounding area, please come on out. I believe tickets are $16 before and $18 at the door at the Southern. So check out their website and come see us. I'm excited. You know, initially I thought this was just going to be a hosting gig, but apparently he's not traveling with anyone, so I got bumped up to the feature, and I'm doing about 15 to 20, I guess, which is cool with me. I'm excited. This is a huge opportunity for me, and hope to see some of you guys on Wednesday at the Southern, 9 o'clock. I believe doors open at 7. I'll be there at 7. I got to get there early, so looking forward to that. Going to D.C. for the first time this Thursday. I'll be at the Arlington Drive House Green Room show. Jason Weems is the headliner. Again, I'll be featuring. I'm excited. First time in D.C. I hear D.C. is a fantastic comedy town, and I'm looking forward to meeting all the comics there, networking, and working my way into the D.C. circuit. And I believe that show starts at 8 o'clock. If you go to like Cool Cow Comedy or ArlingtonDriveHouseCinema.com, or just Google Arlington Draft House if you're in the D.C. area, and you can find the schedule on there. You can only buy tickets at the door, $5 cash. That's, well, I actually have some advertising almost. That's pretty dope. I'm moving up, people. More good news. Yesterday morning, I just woke up, checked my email. Sunday morning. Wasn't expecting anything, kind of out of my mind. Got the confirmation email from the Laughing Devil Comedy Festival that I was accepted. And your boy is finally on his way to New York. May 13th through the 18th, I will be in New York City. I'm excited. That's gonna be fucking dope, y'all. I'm super, super excited. I already bought my train tickets. Sorry. Me and the wife got the train tickets already. So looking forward to that. That's going to be, that's going to be so dope. 6 days in the city doing comedy. I'm going to try to do as many spots as I can, not only do the festival, but if I can make it out to any other venues, I'm definitely going to do that. So if by any chance any of my New York comics friends listen to my podcast, help a brother out, please. I'm trying to get on as many stages as I can while I'm out there in New York. So shout out to Steve Hofstetter and his team for selecting me. There's a lot of comics. I only recognize a couple. Mike Malone, dude's hilarious. Mitch Burrows, dude's funny. I worked with Mitch Burrows in Dayton a few weeks before I left with Augie Smith. Very funny dude, ex-military. Mike Malone's a beast. He's a headliner. There's actually quite a few headliners in this competition / festival. You know, if I win, that's great. But honestly, I'm just trying to go and make a name for myself, have fun, network, and possibly get some shows later down the road. Winning would be cool, but I just want to go there and represent myself well and have a absolute fucking ball in New York. I want to go to the Cellar. I want to go to Caroline's. I want to go to the Stand. I want to go to Stand Up Labs. I want to go to UCB. I want to do all that. Go to the World Trade Center, Bronx Zoo, see the Statue of Liberty. I'm trying to do everything I can in 6 days. It's going to be so much fun. I cannot wait. Super excited. So that was my Sunday morning. And it snowed here the night before, and my driveway is super, super long. Super long. And I shoveled it last weekend, and I really don't want to do that. I didn't want to do it again because I have a slap tear on my shoulder, and that shit sucks. I get tired after like five. My arm is tired after like 5 minutes. So it takes like almost 2 hours to shovel my driveway. That's how long that shit is. It's ridiculous. But so I go out there, I shovel the cars out, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be lazy. And we probably got hit with like 5 or 6 inches, maybe four to five. And then it rained on top of it. So it was slightly icy on top, which made it super heavy. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to shovel this whole thing. So what I will do is shovel the cars out. Then I go to the bottom and I'll shovel all that out. And I'll back my car down and just park my car at the bottom. That way I don't got to shovel the whole driveway. Yeah, that'll work. So I shovel the end of the driveway. I get it all nice and cleaned up. It's starting to get warm. Shit's starting to melt by itself anyway. So I get in my car and I start backing down. Now, part of my driveway is super narrow, and then it has like a quick little turn at the end. And I thought I was on the pavement, and I wasn't. And like at the mouth of our driveway, on the sides, there's like these small like irrigation ditches. It's probably a good, I would say at least 10 inches to maybe a foot drop, maybe a foot drop from the actual like asphalt down into to the ditch. So I'm backing my car down, thinking I'm on the side, I'm on the asphalt, on the driveway, and then boom, I can't move my fucking car at all. And it's tilted it's slanted. I mean, it was damn near tipped over. I have to admit, it was tipped at a good angle. So it was like hard to get in and out. So of course, my neighbors come by, and this one dude tries to help dig me out and all this kind of stuff. And we start digging underneath the tire. And I'm like, you know what? We should probably try to pack as much snow underneath this tire as possible to maybe give it something to grab a hold to. But nope, shit's just spinning and spinning. I tried backing it up. I tried pulling forward. They tried pushing it. They tried everything. I even got a 2x4 out to try to give it some more traction. So now, like, even more people are coming around. It's just like white dudes, when they see a car stuck, they just can't help but come help. White dudes love, like, pulling and towing shit. I swear to God, they love the shit. This one cool dude, man, he's riding up and down the street on his four-wheeler with the plow on it. So he's like, man, I'll help you out. So this dude ends up plowing my entire driveway, clearing me a path. Another neighbor comes. He's like, man, you know what? We can get my truck. So we got an ATV out there. He's got his truck out there. This dude had the towing straps. I mean, and I just felt so emasculated by these dudes. They had everything. I didn't have shit. I was like on my phone getting ready to call USAA to come to come and try and get my car out of a ditch out of my own driveway. How embarrassing is that phone call? It's like, yeah, I slid off the road on my own driveway. Can you please come and get me out? So, long story short, the dude goes home, gets his strap. The guy grabs his truck. I get in. They clear a path. They get it all hooked up, and they pull me out of the ditch in my driveway. Boom. Look at that. Thanks to my neighbors. They didn't even know me. They didn't know me at all. I just moved here. This is the first time they've ever even met me. Pulling this dumbass dude's car out of a ditch out of his own driveway. That's not how I wanted to meet my neighbors. But thank God these people were cool. They wanted to help me out, and they got me out the ditch, and they saved me some money. But I'm a good guy, everybody. Folks, I'm a great guy. So what do? I go and buy everybody a 12-pack. I pay the dude for plowing my driveway. Boom. And they seemed surprised that I actually did that. The one dude was fighting me. He's like, "Nah, man, just, you know, we're neighbors, man. I'm probably gonna need your help someday. I'm probably gonna just, you know, I'm just asking that you return the favor." I'm like, "Is this some like Godfather shit? Like one day you ask me to come kill somebody because you pulled my shit out of a ditch? That's not fair. That's not a one for one trade. It's like, yo, I got your car out of this ditch. I need you to shoot somebody and put their body in a ditch." But I bought him beer anyway, man. So shout out to my neighbors, John. Who is it? John, Ed, and somebody else. Matt. Cool ass dudes, man. And I gotta admit, the dude with the little four wheeler thing, I was like, man, this dude looks super fucking racist. And he was the nicest guy ever. Look at me, judging a book by its cover, completely opposite what I thought. Cool ass dude. Pull me out, plow my driveway. Learn a lesson. One more time, shout out to those guys. What else happened to me recently? If we're friends on Facebook, you probably saw this last night. I posted, I had a status update that just said arguing with Ari Spears on Twitter. Now, let me preface this by saying this is, I'm not trying to brag or, I don't even know, there's no reason to even brag, but I said it on my very first podcast on the other podcast that I had, but I don't like when people attack like celebrities or whatnot on social media just because you can. I just, you know, because back in the day it was a lot harder. You had to write a letter and all this kind of shit, but now you can say whatever you want. You can watch a reality show. Somebody does something stupid and you go, "You know what? I'm about to get on Twitter," and you can just let them know right then and there, like, "Hey, you are a fucking idiot. You're stupid. Kill yourself." I mean, to me, that's not called for. But in no way, shape, or form am I like bragging or anything like that, or I think this is the cool or whatever. But I just happened to hear that he was at the Dayton Funny Bone this weekend, and I just happened to hear that, you know, he was trashing the feature act. And I'm like, damn, that's fucked up. On social media. Which is like, come on, man. This dude's been in movies. He's been on TV shows. I mean, just Shaq All-Star Tour. The dude has had a lot of success and has made lots of money. You know? Probably a couple million Twitter followers. I don't know anymore because Ari blocked me. But it's just like, that shit is not called for. It's like, that's beneath you, man. But he's on Twitter trashing the feature act for singing. I'm like, bro, you do impressions. Then he's like, you know, well, Eddie Murphy and so-and-so did impressions. I'm like, yeah, but Eddie Murphy also did material. Then he's going back and forth. He asked me about Rich Little. I don't fucking know. I know who Rich Little is, but I don't. Rich Little, that's way before my time. That's not my cup of tea, is what I told him. He mentioned Frank Caliendo. Frank Caliendo is funny, but maybe he started off as a traditional stand-up. But to me, he's an impressionist. That's not traditional set-up punchline comedy. I would never pay to go see Frank Caliendo, but the dude is extremely talented at what he does. But that's just not my thing. And we're just going back and forth. He's telling me how I need to educate myself at the game, and I'm like some fake karaoke comedy comedian and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, dude, you're just too big to be doing this shit. It's just like you're acting like you've never been a feature act or you've never been an up-and-coming comic. That's one thing that bothers the shit out of me. When you have comics that forget where they came from. This is like, dude, you were that guy at one point in your career. Don't act like you were never the guy that kind of hung around the club to meet a guy that you looked up to. You did that at some point. Don't forget that. And he's telling me he's got, I got two commas on my check. It's like, bruh, you just did a weekend at the Dayton Funny Bone. That's no knock on the club, but it's like, bro, you've been on the TV show for years, and now you're back in the clubs. So you want to throw money into this shit? I've been doing this for 26 years. How are you going to tell me? I was like, you've been doing this 26 years, and you're still getting on Twitter talking shit about the feature act. If you're that good, it shouldn't matter. I grew up as a fan of Ari Spears. I didn't really watch Mad TV, but I've always loved his impressions and all that kind of stuff. And he was like one of the first comics that I saw on the schedule that I wanted to work. And I've heard a lot of bad things about him. Didn't want to believe it, but I've never heard anything good about that guy, man. And it sucks to see somebody that has so much success and talent be so bitter and have this sense of entitlement. And I hope to God I never, ever, ever end up like that. And again, I'm not trying to brag. I'm not trying to trash this dude because, I mean, who am I? I got like 900 Twitter followers and like 50,000 tweets. This dude's been doing comedy almost, from what he says, almost 3 decades. And for you to take the social media trashing a middle act, come on, man. You're bigger than that. Then the kicker is like, yo, he told me he hopes that I better hope that I never open for him. But I had to remind him that will never happen because Ari Spears doesn't allow other black comics on his show. So that will never happen. And then he finally just blocked me. I mean, I tweeted that to him, not even thinking he would even respond, but it turned into like an hour bitch fest of him telling me I need to educate myself on the game of comedy. I'm just a wannabe comic. I'm a karaoke comedian, but I'm not the one that looked like a fucking raccoon. So I wish him well, and I hope I do see him out there somewhere. Not to fight the dude. No shit like that. That's not me. But just to let him know I'm a real fucking comic. I think when I said that to him, like, well, it's in your contract that you don't want any other black acts on your show. I think he realized that maybe I knew a little bit more about the game than he thought. So I wish Ivy well, and I hope to see him on the road one day, and maybe we can squash this. He probably won't even remember, but wasn't my finest moment. Never really meant to get into a huge bitch fest with the guy, but it happened, and I just thought it was uncalled for and unclassy for a comic with that much time in, that much talent, that much success to get on Twitter and trash a feature act. I just thought it was dumb, and I guess I really didn't need to be the fucking like Twitter cop to make things right, but it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. So that happened. All right, last thing I want to talk about is Oscars. Actually, the Oscars, didn't watch it. I've never been a huge fan of like award shows. I just music awards, movie award shows. They're just not entertaining to me at all. So, and the speeches are awkward, and So shout out to everybody that won. I would like to win an Oscar. Wouldn't want to watch the Oscars. Because I was too busy watching Walking Dead, and this episode was pretty fucking dope, man. I liked it. Rick has completely lost it. I actually kind of loved when he punched Aaron in his face. I thought that was pretty dope, but messed up. You can tell the dude trusts absolutely no one at this point. It was also cool to see Michonne kind of challenge his authority with the group saying, no, we're fucking gone. We all need this. I like to see that. You can tell she is like fed up with being on the road. And I was surprised that the episode moved that quickly. I was only expecting them to maybe just like interrogate Aaron and maybe head to Alexandria, but not actually get there. I didn't think they were going to travel at all. I thought it was going to be a slower interview process with them, but they it seems like they're kind of they've picked up the pace this season. Because I mean, if this was season two, they would have stressed that shit out to like 2 episodes. But it's moving around pretty quickly, and uh, I th- It was one of my favorite episodes. I will have to admit it. It was very, very intense. Even though I know what happens on the show because I read the comic books, I kind of felt like I didn't know what was going to happen. I kind of towards the end, I was expecting to see a certain someone else show up, especially when Glenn like ran off by himself. I was like, oh, he's going to get caught by some other people. But I mean, that was pretty dope. What else happened? Oh, they have the big scene with Aaron kissing his boyfriend. A few people, you know, one person on a chat that I'm part of was like, "Oh, everybody's gay." I'm like, "Really, bitch? Everybody's gay?" Actually, this character's been gay since the beginning of the comic, so I can't understand why certain people are just so homophobic, man. It's just like, I get it, man. It's not your thing, but god damn, especially black people, man, we gotta stop that shit. We gotta stop it. And if you have your religious convictions or beliefs, that's fine, but we gotta stop with the bigotry, man. Because 50 years ago, that was us. And I'm not trying to compare black plight to gay plight, because comparing plight, that's where you get into a lot of trouble. We just need to have mutual respect for one another. But that was a cool scene when Aaron met up with his boyfriend. I think that's when Rick really trusted him, when he saw there was nothing nefarious going on. It was like a super like sincere, tender moment between a couple that Rick was like, damn, I don't think you can fake this type of affection, I can't say weird, but it was just like, I think it took him to see that for him to finally go, you know what? I don't think this dude's lying. What else? I'm excited to see how it all plays out. I wonder if we're going to get to meet Ezekiel this season. On the preview, they didn't really show any other people in Alexandria other than like one of the door sentries, the security guard guy. But other than that, they really haven't showed any other quote unquote major characters. So I'm looking forward to that next week. It's been a great season so far. The first half of the season was dope, and this second half is even better, man. So I'm just looking forward to seeing how it all plays out and where the season ends this season. So there's a show. That's a show, in the words of George Costanza, my dude. And again, thanks to everybody who takes the time out to listen to my show. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Chris Allen Comedy, ALAN. Oh, I'm working on some merch, some little stickers. I know it's not a T-shirt, but it's cheaper than a T-shirt. And I'm only going to be asking for donations. It's just a little sticker, you know, just a little trinket, if you want to call it that, a little something for people at the shows to take home to remind them of me, and maybe pass to somebody else and get me some more traffic to my website or my social media pages. And again, Twitter, Instagram at Chris Allen Comedy, ALAN, Facebook, same thing, and the email address to the podcast is negropleaseradio@gmail.com. And that's it. You guys have a great week. Thank you so much. I'm out this bitch. Peace.